I think I'll also throw this onto Facebook. Why not? Since we can. And I will share the screen in a moment. Yes, Hana. You have to unmute yourself.
Rabbi, I want to say something about last week, about the Gid Anashe.
Sure.
Yes. So actually, there was no reason that in all the things that you stated, there were interesting things connected to it, but we really don't know the reason for it. And that's one of the mitzvot, really, that there's no explanation about it, period.
We gave some reasons for it. The Torah itself gives a reason for it, and we also then shared some other explanations of what the Torah said about it.
Well, I didn't feel that it was really explanation.
You weren't satisfied with any of the
things around it, and that's what I was always saying.
Okay,
I knew that there is actually really one of them. It's not like Shatnez too. That's one of them, and maybe another one that I don't remember. That there's no explanation.
Well, yeah. Well, the difference here is the Torah tells us why. We may not be satisfied with the explanations of why, but the Torah tells us explicitly why.
Because of the fight with the Malach.
Right. So it's not, I don't think it falls into the category of a chok. But okay, good. So it's good Rabbi. To be not. It's good to be not satisfied, because then now you have to keep learning until you find an answer that satisfies you.
That's... Rabbi Gilman, I have a question.
So keep learning, Shula. Keep learning. Yes, Tana.
I would like to know if you want to listen to this lecture today or the class today later. Are you able to get a link to it? Because I'm not on your list, because I would like to be, because Hana Sasson tells me all the time, and I'd like to join.
Yeah. Her. So all of my shiurim are available on YU Torah, and you can just go. You, I have about 275 shiurim on YU Torah.
And what will be this one? Just Halomot?
It goes by Parsha. These are going by Parshat HaShavua.
So which one would be that one?
This is Vayeshev.
Okay.
It'll be the newest one once I post it.
Okay. Toda rabba.
Bevakasha. Okay, great. Okay, welcome everyone. Today is Wednesday, December 9th, 2020, and this is our weekly lunch and learn, the mitzvah shiur. This week, there's no explicit mitzvah in the Torah, but there is an interesting topic that derives from events in this week's parsha, and that is overall the discussion of dreams. Right, this week's parsha, I'll read for you from the Minchat Asher. The Minchat Asher is a collection of halachic essays written by Rabbi Asher Weiss of Eretz Yisrael, I believe in B'nai Brak, and this is just his very thick volume. This is just his volume on Bereshit. It's a prolific author. He has a number of volumes of Shelot Utshuvot as well, and at the beginning of the essay. One of his essays on this week's Parsha, he writes, Parsha zo matchila b'divrei chalomot shel Yosef u'mistayemet b'divrei chalomot shel sar ha'ofim v'sar ha'mashkim. This week's Parsha begins with Yosef's dream, his famous dream that got him into, two dreams that got him into some trouble with his brothers, and the famous dream of the baker and the butler, if you will, or the wine attendant. Asher al kain, nasok b'divrei chalomot pratehem v'dikdukehem lefi halacha. And he goes on to write a lengthy essay dealing with dreams, the specifics of dreams, and how dreams affect or don't affect halacha. So that's what we're going to spend some time on today. We're going to talk about are dreams meaningful, right? And if someone has a bad dream or a good dream, or someone dreams that they've done something or they haven't done something, Are those dreams meaningful? Should we act on them or should we ignore them? That is what we are going to discuss today. It's quite a large topic, and we're going to hit on some of the main ideas, but not everything. There's a lot to be said here. Okay. Did someone just have their hand up that I missed? Okay. So as is our practice, if you'd like to make a comment or ask a question, please use the raise hand function in the available for you in Zoom, or if your picture is up, you could actually raise your hand on the screen, although I don't necessarily see everyone at one time, or unmute yourself if there's something urgent that you need to mention. Okay, Shula, I saw that you had your hand up.
Yeah, just when you mentioned about the Chalomot, so just came to my mind this statement. I don't know, where does it say? That Chalomot Shav Yedaber.
Ah, okay, we get there. Excellent. That Chalomot are empty, worthless.
Nonsense.
Nonsense. All right, well, hold on to your seat.
Who said it and where did it say?
We're going to get to it.
It's not that I have different feelings about Chalomot. I think it's a reflection of the Metziut.
Okay. All right, so excellent. Shula's bringing up both points, and we're going to really see that in the Gemara, there are differing views. In the Gemara, we'll see there are differing views as to the importance of dreams. So let's dig in. So just to give us the welcome, Andrea. Just to give us the context of the Parsha. The context of the Parsha is, as I read for you before, the beginning, Yosef's dream, V'yachalom Yosef. Everyone hopefully could see the screen. Linda, thumbs up. Can you see the screen? Yes? Okay, great. V'yachalom Yosef. You had your screen outside of your camera, so I couldn't see what you were doing, Linda. Okay. So, V'yachalom Yosef chalom v'yaged le'echa v'yosef v'otznoto. Yosef had a dream, and he told his brothers, and because of the dream, they hated him even more. And so we have the two dreams of Yosef, that he was binding wheat in the field, and his wheat stood up, and the other sheaves bowed down to his. And then another dream that the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down to me. So the first dream upset his brothers, the second dream upset his brothers and his father, but the beginning of the Parsha is about dreams. Now, we do know, let me just finish this. At the end of the Parsha, we have also another dream. We have a dream of as I mentioned before, the baker and the wine steward, the wine attendant, in jail, right? Yosef is in jail in Egypt after he's sold, and he's in jail in Egypt. And then all of a sudden, the baker and the wine attendant appear in his jail cell with him, and they tell him that he had that they each had a dream, and Yosef goes on to correctly interpret their dreams. So one thing we do know from reading the Torah is that dreams are significant in the Torah. There's no question about that. What we're going to discuss is, Are they legitimate? Are they important for us, right? A regular person, not someone from the Torah who has a dream. It's also important to note that according to the Rambam and others, those dreams in the Torah, the dreams that we read about in the Torah, are not really dreams. They are nevuah dressed up as dreams. They are prophecy in the guise of a dream. In fact, the Rambam writes that all Nevi'im, all prophets, male and female, except Moshe, only had Nevu'ah when they were asleep. Moshe was the only one to have Nevu'ah while he was awake. So it's possible that all of these dreams were actually Nevu'ah. So Yosef's dream was meaningful because it wasn't a dream. It was a nevuah. Now, the question is, what about the dream of the Sar HaOfim and Sar HaMashkim? Were they prophets? We'll also see some approaches that talk about the importance of how a dream is interpreted. But one way to look at dreams in the Torah is that they are aspects or they are nevuah. Okay, so what I'd like to do now is I'd like to look at various snippets, various passages from the Talmud, from the Gemara, that discuss dreams. And we're going to see that there's a wide range of opinion as to whether dreams are meaningful or not. And then we'll see halacha, how the Shulchan Aruch looks at dreams. And then we're going to see two fascinating real live halachic questions regarding dreams. That's the program for today. But to whet your appetite, here's a question. This question comes from a sefer, a book that we've learned a few times already together, Chashukei Chemed, which is a collection of Shelot u'Tshuvot, a collection of responsa based, which goes in the order of every page in the Talmud. Okay, so this is based on the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin that says Divrei Chalomot Lo Ma'alin V'Lo Moridin. As Shula said, we should not really pay much attention to dreams. They're not Ma'aleh or Morid. They don't make any difference at all. Okay? Let's see the question. Fascinating question. She'ela. Ma'aseh be'echad she'yat tzarich l'nsoa l'chutz la'aretz l'regel mischaro. A person living in Israel needed to travel outside the land of Israel, outside of Israel, for business purposes. The kvar hizmin kartis. He already bought his ticket. Balayla chalam she'aviv ba'alav. At night, he dreamt that his father came to him. Umazhiro shelo ya'ale al hamatos. So if anyone now is having visions of the famous dream scene in Fiddler on the Roof, right? Which I guess I should have showed a clip of that to start. That would have gotten us in the mood, right? So his father comes to him in a dream and says to him, Mazhiro shelo yale lamatos. He warns him, don't get on the plane. V'yivatel et hakartis. And he should cancel his trip. He should cancel the ticket. Ha'im yesh lo livatel et hakartis. The person now wants to know if they should cancel their flight. U'lahafsid kesef. It's not just a question of canceling their flight. He bought a non-refundable ticket, or at least the travel insurance that he bought does not cover bad dreams and as a possible reason for canceling the trip. Oshema divrei chalomot lo ma'alin v'lo moridin. Or maybe dreams make no difference. That is the question. We're not going to see the answer to the question until later, but that is the question. Has anyone ever had a dream like this where someone came to them, or they had a dream that they should or should not do something? Anyone ever have? Yeah, Chana?
But is there a thought that is not in your dream, but it's almost like a premonition that you feel that something is happening is similar to dreams?
I don't know. Good question. Right now, we're going to look at sources that deal with dreams, okay. Meaning by definition, the person is sleeping. A premonition, we could be awake, but we're talking about person sleeping. Go ahead, Shula.
The question is whether if it's kibud avayim, if the father is dead, whether he is still obligated, I mean, does it still stand?
Good question. It sounds to me that the father is. It sounds to me that the father is dead here, because maybe if the father didn't die, the guy could have gone to his father in the morning and said, hey, dad, Abba, you appeared to me in a dream. Can I go on the flight? But it seems like the father is dead. And your question, by the way, of whether or not Kibud Avaim applies post the death of our parents, that's another fascinating question. And maybe when we get to, we could do a mitzvah shir on that, right? Because that's an interesting question. Very good question. Okay, Nitza, last comment, then we're going to see some sources.
There are some thoughts that what we think during the day, we dream at night.
Okay.
Maybe he had the feeling that he's not sure during the day whether to go or not.
Right. Okay. Maybe
and
that's why the
gemara could be solving his problem. I mean, my father said so.
Right. So okay. Let's see. Good. Excellent point. Okay.
Some doctors said that dreams have a lot to do with our behaviors.
Okay. Everyone's making great points. Let's move on. Okay. Hold your question, Chana, now.
Okay.
Write it down just so you don't forget
it. No, it's fine. You're going to talk about it. I can see.
Okay, here we go.
It says, "Mitzta'er al ma'ot shehiniach lo aviv." That means that he was passed away.
Yeah. So here's a question. This is the question that we just read. It stems from this Gemara. The Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin says as follows. Harei sheyam mitzta'er al ma'ot shehiniach lo aviv. Someone, a father left money for their child, but they don't know where they left it. And the father's dead, so they can't ask them. Okay? Uba bal hachalom, va'amar lo kach v'kach, hein b'mekom ploni, hein shel maser sheni. He has a dream, and in the dream, he's told that the money is in such and such a place, but the money is maser sheni. It's second tithe. I mean, he can't use it. He certainly can't use it for normal purposes, right? So what happens? The Gemara continues. This actually happened. This matter was brought before the Chachamim, and they said, you can spend the money. Dreams do not make a difference. Now, let's be very careful. Let's read this carefully here. He doesn't know where the money is. He has a dream telling him where the money is. And it sounds like he finds the money. So the dream was right. And even though the dream was right, the rabbis tell him he could spend the money, even though in the dream he was also told it was Maser Sheni. So we're splitting it here. The part of the dream I like, where the money, I found the money, I'm gonna go dig up the money, and I found it. But the part of the dream that I don't like, that it's Maser Sheni, I'm gonna ignore that. So that's a question we have to answer, right? How is it that he could take part of the dream? How is it possible that we say lo ma'alin v'lo moridin? In this case, the dream was right. So why do we, if the dream was right, then he shouldn't be able to use the money. He should just assume it's Maser Sheni. So that we have to, that's a question we have to keep in the back of our mind. So that's one Gemara that says lo ma'alin v'lo moridin. The details of the dream have no halachic significance at all. Meaning we can't, based on this dream, we can't say that the money is Maser Sheni. Okay, next Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef.
I'm sorry, Rabbi.
Yeah.
So we're saying he had in the dream, he saw where the money is, and he saw that this is a tithe, but then he chooses to spend the money.
No, he doesn't spend the money. Yes, I'm sorry. He's allowed to spend the money wherever he wants. The rabbis tell him that you don't have to pay attention to the dream in terms of it telling you that it's tithe money.
Are we concluding that this was a God-given dream? Or
No. In fact, they're saying the opposite. Lo ma'alin v'lo moridin. The dream is meaningless. It happens to have been that the dream was right about where the money was, but in terms of categorizing the money as being off limits, that's meaningless. We're not going to take that into account at all.
Okay. It doesn't really make sense to me, but okay.
I'm sorry, what doesn't make sense?
Well, that you have a dream, and in the dream, it tells you where it is and what to do with it, and you only do part, I mean, it comes true.
That's right. That's what's so interesting about this passage in the Talmud. We're seeing that it's true. The dream was correct in terms of where the money was. So why aren't we also listening to the second half of the dream? Yes, that's the question. Exactly. You do understand. But it's, you understand the question 100%. You are 100% correct in scratching your head. How could this be? Exactly. Excellent. Okay, Ellie.
Well, you have free will. I mean, that to me just says you have a dream. You can regard it as you wish. You can either say, I found the money, therefore I'm going to believe this bit. Even if I do believe the other bit, I don't want to do it. You know, I want to go another direction. And the rabbis are just saying, well, please yourself.
Okay. Okay. Good. Could be. Okay. But
well, we always have free will, right?
Okay. Go ahead, Linda.
Could it be possible that since the person had deceased and the mitzvah of Maser Sheni was no longer in effect once they were deceased, and even though the son found the money, he was not obligated to fulfill his father's...
No, I don't think so. I think once the money is set aside as Maser Sheni, that's it.
Okay, thanks.
All right, let's go on. Let's go on because we're never going to finish at this rate. Lots of good questions, but we have to get to the end of it. We have to find the answer to this riddle. So let's move on. Okay, so another Gemara. You have another interesting dream. Amar Rav Yosef, Niduhu b'chalom, Sarich Asara Yud Bnei Adam Lahatirlo. Let's say you have a dream that you were put into Cherem. You were excommunicated. Yet you weren't in the dream, you were excommunicated. You wake up, you say, well, that was strange. Says the Gemara, you still need 10 people to dissolve the excommunication, even though it only took place in a dream.
Why?
Good question. Why is that, right? Mm-hmm. And the Gemara goes on to say only a certain type of person could actually do the sort of reinstatement. So this actually flies in the face of the previous Gemara. The previous Gemara says a dream has no halachic significance at all. I do not have to treat the money as Maser Sheni. This Gemara says it does have a halachic significance, so much so that it could change my status. Right? It could change my status. I mean, I wonder what the Gemara would say if I had a dream now that I'm a Kohen. I don't know. Does that make me a Kohen now? You know the joke about the guy who goes to the rabbi and says, I'd like you to make me a Kohen? And the rabbi says, I can't. I can't make you a Kohen. He says, I'll give you $500 to the shul. He goes, no, I can't. Next week he comes back. He goes, all right, I'll give you $2,000. Please just make, I'll do anything to become a Kohen. It's so important to me. He says, no. Finally, he comes back a few months later. He says, Rabbi, I'm going to give you $10,000 to the synagogue if you would please make me a Kohen. As Rabbi says, I can't, but I'm so interested to know why it is you want to be a Kohen. He goes, oh, well, because my father was a Kohen and my grandfather was a Kohen. All right. Anyway.
I guess he took the $10,000.
So, right. So I'll take the $10,000 now. In this case, so you have a change of the status. He changes his status and he has to now go. He has to find 10 people who are somewhat scholarly, who have studied halacha, to reinstate him. So how do we make sense of these two Gemara? Let's keep going, because the Gemara then continues. The Gemara continues as follows and says, Amar le Rav Achal Rav Ashi, Shamte Visharu le Bechal Meimai. Okay, let's say you were put into excommunication in the dream, but in the same dream, you were reinstated. Right? The first case is you were just excommunicated in the dream. So you need to be reinstated by 10 people. The next case is you're excommunicated and reinstated in the same dream. What's the halacha then? Amar le kashem shi'efshar lebar below tevin, kach i'efshar lechalom below divrei betelim. This is one of the great... The Talmud has such great phrases. He says, just as it's impossible for there to be grain without straw, so is it impossible for there to be dream without an idle matter. Meaning what? The first half of the dream, we're going to accept. You are now in Cherem. That is the grain. But the second half of the dream that you are reinstated, that's the straw. And we're not going to accept that. And you have to go find 10 people to dissolve your excommunication. So, I mean, this is just very, very confusing. What is the Talmudic position about dreams? So now we have three cases. One case, the dream has no halachic significance at all. You could use the money. Second case, the dream has absolute halachic significance. If it puts you in, if you dream that you've been put in cherem, you're in cherem and you have to get dissolved by 10 people. And the third Gemara, well, maybe, maybe not. If you're put in cherem in a dream, it's significant. But if you're reinstated in the dream, it's not significant. We have to assume that that is the devarim b'telim, right? That is the teven of the dream. That is the straw in the dream, and you are not reinstated. So you see, we're going back and forth. Okay, let's look at a few more gemarot, and then we'll look at how the Shulchan Aruch views all of this. Okay, Gemara in Brachot, Am Rabbi Hanan. Afilu bal achalomot omer lo la'adam l'machar hu meit al yimna atzmo min harachamim. If you have a dream that tomorrow you're going to die, do not give hope. Why? Ki berov chalomot v'havalim u'divarim harbei ki at Hashem helokim yorei. For in the multitude of dreams and vanities, there are many words, but fear God. Meaning, we don't know. We don't know what's going to be. You have to go to the doctor or whatever the case may be. You can't give up. You can't give up hope. On the other hand, this is something I think that Shula said and Nitza said. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Ein marin lo la'adam, ela mehir hu reili bo. A person is shown in a dream only what they've been thinking about. So like you said, Nitza, maybe the guy himself was nervous about flying. And his nerves, his anxiety about flying, you know, is now manifest at a dream, is as a dream that his father is telling him he shouldn't go. But really, it's just him. The dream is meaningless. The dream is only a reflection of his own thoughts. Right? So the Gemara continues. This is brings a proof from Daniel. Ant Malka Rayonach Al Mishkavcha Silku. As for you, O king, your thoughts came upon your bed. What should come to pass hereafter? Vibat ema mehacha v'rayone levavcha tinda. And that you may know the thoughts of your heart. Amar Rava teda delo machavu le leinish lo dikla de dahava v'lo pila de aile bekupa de machta. How do we know that people only dream what's in their minds? Because no one dreams about a golden palm tree or about an elephant going through the eye of a needle. Meaning we only dream what's possible. And because we've thought about it. We don't think about impossible things. And therefore, well, maybe some of us think about impossible things. But this point is, we only dream about what we think is our reality. So maybe dreams are, again, like we said earlier, lo morid, lo ma'alin v'lo maridin. It doesn't make a difference. They don't make a difference. Okay. On the other hand, I know I keep going back. On the one hand, on the other hand, that's the point, because the Gemarot are unclear. Here we go. Chamisha v'shisha v'asara siman. The numbers 5, 6, and 10 are mnemonics for the categories below. About five things. Chamisha echad mishishim elu. There are five things which are considered 1/60th of something else. Let's look at the bottom one. Chalom, echad mishisha linivuah. A dream is 1/60th of prophecy. So on the other hand, we have, there's no dream without some teven, without some devarim b'telim, meaningless things. On the other hand, we have a dream which is some level of prophecy. We have gemarot, which seems to, one seems to disagree with the other. How do we make sense of all of this? What does the halacha finally say about all of this? So we'll learn three rules in the Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll go back and try and answer our question about the man who wants to fly and see another fascinating tshuva also about this. Let me stop and see if there are any questions or comments so far. Any comments or questions? Yes, Chana. Please unmute yourself. Go ahead.
Yes. It seems to me that they're just like human beings. There is so many de'ot, so many opinions. And when it is in the halacha, it's different. But it seems to me that they have been, כמו שאתה אומר בתורה שבעל פה, it's like people, a people, a human being, and they are מפרשים דברים שונה. So פה אומרים ככה ופה, show me five Jewish people and you get seven opinions, you know? So
that's
what it feels to me. You know, that you're trying to get
Gemara,
something.
Right, it could be that the Gemara is full of, it could be like a standard machloket that we have, that we have in the Gemara. We're going to try to make sense of it. There are some unifying theories that try to unify all of these various approaches, which we'll get to in a little bit. Ellie, you've been waiting with your hand raised. Unmute, please.
People don't just dream about their reality. I used to do dream therapy, so I've heard a lot of people's dreams, and people have really bizarre dreams, and untangling those just from a psychological point of view is often worthwhile. So this idea that we don't dream about the elephant going through the eye of the needle is not, I don't agree with, because depending on what's troubling you, you can have really, or what you just watched on the television that gets incorporated into your dream, or what you read in a book, or all sorts of things.
That's what he's saying. When you've read a book or you've seen a movie, that's what the Gemara says. We dream about things that are in our life.
Well, we incorporate it into a dream. We're not...
Right, exactly. Right. So the person may have incorporated his anxiety about flying into his dream, which manifests as his father coming to him, telling him not to fly.
And yet, there are people who will say, and the Zohar talks about this, there's people who will say that people who think they have prophetic dreams or have, you know, future dreams or whatever, they can distinguish between the dreams that are, you know, bizarre and just your everyday getting rid of stuff out of your consciousness and those other dreams. So how do they explain that?
I don't know. That's a good question. All right. We're going to have to hold off on questions for a few minutes now, too. And we're going to look at these three halachot. Okay. One. Remember the Gemara about the father who left the money. This is the halachic conclusion of that Gemara. Hayapi kadon biyad avihem ve'eno yodea hechan henicho ve'amru lo b'chalom kach ve'kach heim u'bimakom ploni heim v'shel ploni heim o'shel maser sheni heim. The Shulchan Aruch adds an interesting note. There's money waiting for you and you have a dream as to where it is. And in the dream, it tells you where it is, but it also tells you that money belongs to somebody else. Or it is, like we said, maser sheni. And you go and you find the money. U'mitza'am b'makom shenemarlo, u'v'minyan shenemarlo. Not only is it where it is, but it's exactly the amount. You know, it's a suitcase full of unmarked 20s, right? We know exactly where it is, okay? Shenemarlo diri chalomot, lo ma'alinin v'lo moridin ela hareihem shelo. So the Gemara rules, the Shulchan Aruch rules just like the Gemara. Even though the dream seems to be true, because the money is where the dream said it was, and the amount is what the dream said it would be. But the dream also says it happens to be the neighbor's money. Doesn't matter. You can keep it. We haven't answered that inconsistency yet, but that's what the rule is. That's what the halacha is. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Okay, next. Next Gemara. This one is about being put in cherem. Remember, the Gemara said if you're put in cherem in your dream, you have to be brought out of cherem by people. Even if in your dream you are released from the cherem, you still have to, that part we ignore, says the Shulchan Aruch. Niduhu b'chalom have nidui v'tzarich hatara. If someone dreams that they have been put into excommunication, that is taken seriously and they need to be reinstated. V'afilu hitiru lo b'chalom. Just like the Gemara says, even if in the same dream, the excommunication was reversed. Eino klum. That is meaningless. V'afilu yodea mi niduhu. Eino yachol lahatiro. Even if you, in the dream, you know who put you in cherem, doesn't, you can't go to that person anymore. Sarich asara b'nei adam sheshonim halachot lahatiro. You still have to go find 10 people in order to release you. So far, the Shulchan Aruch is ruling exactly like those Gemarot, again, which leads us to some inconsistency. Finally, a case that does not appear in the Gemara, but the Shulchan Aruch adds, Hanoder b'chalom. Let's say I'm sleeping tonight, or one of you is sleeping tonight, and you dream that you pledge $50,000 to UOS. Are you obligated? Right? Are you obligated to give the money? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Hanoder b'chalom eino klum ve'eino tzarich she'ela v'yesh omrim she'yatiru lo asara. If you don't want to give the money, you have to go and have your vow released. The vow in your sleep is meaningful. Now, so Elisheva, this goes back to our discussion a moment ago. Maybe I really wanted to give that money. I really was thinking all day, wouldn't it be nice for me to make a nice donation to the synagogue? And then I have a dream about it. Maybe. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Me'ikar hadin, fundamentally it's meaningless, but we take the strict view, v'yesh omrim she'yatiru lo asara, v'yesh lachush l'divrehem, says the Rama. We should be concerned with that opinion, meaning if you don't want to write the check, you need to go find someone to release you from the vow.
It's also, Rabbi, for the first one,
yeah,
that he knows that there are reasons that he should be excommunicated because he knows that he did bad things.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Well, no.
Although okay, good. That's a good point. Okay, so that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch follows the Gemarot in the first two cases and adds this other case, which seems to indicate that a dream is significant. So we're still left a little with not so much clarity. Okay, let's answer the first question that we started with, and then look at another question wherein the answer to that second question will give us this unified theory of how to understand all these Gemarot, maybe in a non-contradictory way. Okay, so first, back to the question about the flying son and the nervous father who appears to him in the dream. So, tshuva, here's the answer. Legabe chalamot, Ha'im yesh lachshosh lahem, o shema ne'mar divrei cholamot lo malim v'lo maridin, matzinu b'shas sugyot sotrot. We know this already, because we just learned it. Regarding the importance and the whether dreams are real or not, says Rav Zilberstein, we find in the Talmud, sugyot sotrot. Different sections in the Talmud that disagree with one another. Like Chana said, right? We have a stirot ben hasugyot, disagreements or just, yeah, inconsistencies, right, between the sugyot. And then he quotes them for us. Dihine b'Sanhedrin daf lamad amad aleph nemar hareshe yamitzta'er al ma'ot sheniach lo aviv. He quotes the Gemara about the hidden money, where on the one hand it says, we know the dream was correct, but you don't have to consider it Masa Sheni, lo ma'alin v'lo moridin. The Gemara, the dream is meaningless. Me'idach b'nidarim, on the other hand, there's a sugya, a section in Nidarim, which we also studied. Amrina niduhu b'chalom tzarech yud b'nei adam lahatir. And the Shulchan Aruch said the same thing. If you dream that you have been excommunicated, you need someone else, 10 people for that matter, to remove you from that status. And then he quotes other Gemarot as well. So the good news is we've learned the Gemarot correctly. at least according to Rav Zilberstein. He also learns the Gemarot and says, what are we supposed to do with these Gemarot? They're sotrot. What do we do? Then, this is a lengthy tshuva, but I'm just giving snippets. Uvistei chamed herich bazev vevi b'shem sefer yad ne'eman shematzah b'kuntrus mechamav shel haprichadash. Background, these are all the sources. Maaseh b'rofei shiamuchan lasot trufa la'acholeh. Another interesting case. A doctor who was about to give treatment, sounds like some medication, to a sick person. V'amru lo b'chalom shelo ya'aseh lo oto trufa. And he has a dream that he should not give the medicine to the person. Ki achole atid lamut. Because the sick person's going to die. It's unclear if the person's going to die from the medicine or going to die anyway. But don't give him the medicine. So what's he supposed to do? So he says, v'yishiv de'im misupak ba'oto trufa yesh lachush de'vri achalom. If you were unsure, if the doctor was unsure of the efficacy of the medicine, then don't give it to him. Because now you were unsure. And now on top of your lack of certainty, you have this dream, which may be something, telling you not to give it. So now that's two against one, if you will. Don't do it. Sheva al tase. Vim barur lo shelo yazik lo. But if you're sure that the medicine will not hurt the person, lo yashkiach b'direi achalom, then you should not listen to the dream. But if you, doctor, you're uncertain, but another doctor is certain, don't listen and go ahead. So here it seems, again, just another complicated situation about whether or not to pay attention to these dreams. Finally, he adds a wrinkle which we haven't seen yet. Ubesefer Imre Noam, Kata B'Shem Hagra, the Vilna Gaon, Sheyesh Cholamot Shehem Shel Yedei Malach, V'yesh Cholamot Shehem Al Yedei Shedim. Obeth said before, was this a dream from God? I don't know, because now the Vilna Gaon is telling us, sometimes we have a dream, it comes from an angel, which is presumably a correct source, wanting to help us. On the other hand, sometimes you have a dream that comes from a demon. And maybe we shouldn't listen to the demonic dreams. How do we know the difference? So when you have a dream that's about tomorrow or a period of time that's close, even if they are demonic dreams, they could be true. But if the dream is for a long distance, a long time from now, you can only trust the ones that come from an angel. But Shedim have no knowledge of what comes much later. Of course, the problem is, how are we supposed to know which dream came from a Malach and which dream came from a Shed? We do not have that. So what does Rav Zilberstein say to do in this case? Le'or zot b'inyanenu. Kevan shehu nogea l'divar davar nogea l'atzmo. Since this dream directly affects the flyer, the sun, b'choshesh l'nsoa, and he's now concerned. Maybe he should pay attention. It sounds like he already had some concerns about flying. And on top of that, he has a dream that he should not fly. So just like we saw in the earlier situation with the medicine, maybe he shouldn't fly. Dehave milta disakanta, v'ulai zehe'era min hashamayim. There's a certain risk involved in flying. And maybe this is some warning, some insight from heaven. So listen to that. Maybe this dream is like a prophecy. He should do something to undo this dream. And if you there is a paragraph that's read sometimes during the Birkat Kohanim, which we read in order to free ourselves from the possibility of bad things based on the bad dreams. Therefore, he says at the end,
Even though
Va'adayin sarich iyun. Rabbi Zilberstein himself is unsure, but it sounds like he wants to be on the safe side and tell the person not to fly until at least he goes and takes care of his dream with hatavat chalom, sort of reversing, if you will, reversing the dream. That is Rabbi Zilberstein's answer to this person, again, because we see even in the Talmud, there's this back and forth, what he called sugyot sotrot. In the Talmud itself is full of contradictions about how we are supposed to think about dreams. Okay, let's look at one more thing. Again, I said we're going to try to find a unifying theory about how to understand these various gemarot about dreams. So here comes the theory. Just fixing my sheet here. Okay, this is from Shelot Utshuvot Rav Pe'alim, Rav Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, 1835 to 1909. Okay, we're just going to read a few snippets. I'll make it bigger and we'll scan each time. Okay, here's the question. It's a fascinating question. She'ila. Misha chalam shehu Yom Kippur v'haya ochel bo. It's not Yom Kippur, but the person dreams that it's Yom Kippur and that he ate on Yom Kippur. Okay, so he's very upset about this, a very upsetting dream. Okay. V'nizkar b'chalom acher she'achal. He remembers now on this dream. He has another dream, apparently, where it was Yom Kippur, and he dreamt that he ate. And he's very upset about this dream. The dream, he wakes up from this nightmare, and he realizes it's a dream, so at least he's relieved that it was only a dream. What he should do once he wakes up. He also dreamt one time that it was a weekday. It was a weekday. He dreamt that it was Shabbos. Then he broke Shabbos. What's he supposed to do? And does he need any type of kapara? So really what the person is asking here, right, he's asking, is there a message in this dream? He didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't Yom Kippur. It wasn't Shabbos. He didn't break Shabbos. He didn't break Yom Kippur. But this dream, he wants to know, is this dream some sort of message? So in order to answer the question, the Rav Pe'alim, Rav Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, goes through all of the Gemarot that we studied.
Oh.
Okay? And in that recognizes what Rav Zilberstein recognized and what we all recognized, that the Gemara is full of sugyot storot, right? Of sugyot that seem to contradict one another. So how are we supposed to make sense of all of these? So he offers a unifying theory, which is really interesting. Nireh li b'siyata d'shmai l'chalek chiluk acher. First, he quoted someone else's theory, and now he quotes his own theory. V'hu gabe maser, hu lo haya yodea makom hama'ot v'lo mispara. He refers us back to the case of the missing money. The son didn't know where it was or how much it was. V'habala chalamot higid lo makom hama'ot u'mispara. In his dream, he's told where it is and how much it is. V'gam higid lo shem shel maser. And the dream also, he's told in the dream that the money is maser money. We saw Ein Chalom B'li Kash. Similar idea. There's no dream without something meaningless in it. Right? Even though part of it may be true, so he's going to thread the needle here. Part of it may be true, but there's always some Divarim B'telim, some meaningless parts of a dream. Nimtza Sheish B'Chalom Emet. So a dream will have some truth and some falsehood. Al kain, hashta de chazinan de hamakom umispar hamaot emet. Listen to this, amazing. So now the person goes, he finds the money. So it's in the right place and it's the right amount. So that part of the dream is the emet part of the dream. But if now we're told that every part of the dream also has some sheker, some untruth, what's left? What's left to be not true? That it's maser, exactly, Nita, right? The only that's left that can't be true is that it's maser, right? Al-Kain, Nimtza Sheish, so he says, Al-Kain Hashid Chazin, the Makomu Mispar Hama'ot Emet. Now we've seen that the place and the amount of money is true. V'inyan Hamaser, Lo Nitamet Etzlenu. We're not going to make the maser part true because we have to stay. No. We have to be consistent. The Gemara says every dream has some truth and some divrim b'teilim. So I have to find something batel, and it must be the ma'ot. Now, what? So it says v'day v'day talinan ha'emet shel hachalom hu b'mash she'amar lo hamakom v'hamispar. The truth of the dream is where it was and how much it was. Like those things have to be true because we see them in front of our own eyes that they're true. And therefore, the only thing left over to be claimed as untrue is that the money belongs to someone else or is maser. Now, what if there's only one part of the dream, however? Right? In this dream, there were three parts: where the money was, how much it was, and who it belonged to. But we have the other case. You're excommunicated. There's no two parts of that dream.
Yes, there is.
Either what? Either you're excommunicated or you weren't excommunicated. We'll get to that. Yes, no, that's the second one. So good, exactly. But the first one, in the first one where there was only one part, there was no hatara. In the first part where there was no reinstatement, what do you do? We'll get back to your point in a second. So let's keep reading. Rav Yosef Chaim, he figures it all out for us. Then he goes on to say, what about the nidui? Ach gabe nidui, right? The case where you were put into excommunication. Shara'ash aniduhu b'chalom. Iyaf shalomar hanidu divrem b'teilim. We can't say it's not true. Dimkein mahaya metchel achalom. Either you were put in chayrim or you weren't put in chayrim. So there's no way for us to say, well, this is true, this is not true. So we have to take the stricter opinion. And just in case this was true, kevan demuchach lomar sheyesh b'mara achalom davar emet v'yesh gam gevar batel al kein ruchachim anachnu lomar shezera abechalom shehetiru lo hanidoy ach shachach ze. In the other case, Nitza, we don't know which one is true. Was the person in Nidui? Is that true? Or was the person not in Nidui? Is that true? Therefore, since we're not sure which one was true, which one was not true, we have to go l'chumra. So he finds a unifying theory. When there's ability to split it and you can clearly identify which part is true, you should split it and identify which is true and which is false. When there's only one part of the dream, you have to go l'chumra. When there are two parts of the dreams, but you don't know how to split it, you also have to go l'chumra, which now becomes a meaningful unifying theory of how to understand all these Gemarot. So now, what about the man who had the dream that he broke his fast on Yom Kippur? What are we supposed to do? Al Kain, b'nidun ha'sheila. He finally comes to an answer. Hanizker le'el, shechalam b'shar yamim shu Yom Kippur v'ochel, v'chein rashu shabbat u'michalel shabbat. The person dreams that he ate on Yom Kippur or broke Shabbat. Yesh lachush l'mare chalom zeh. We have, right? It's you can't split it. Either he ate on Yom Kippur or he didn't eat Yom Kippur. Either he broke Shabbat or he did not break Shabbat. You can't split it. We have to go to Chumrah. Ulai marin lo kach lehodiyo shu chilel makom mikodem Shabbat Yom Kippurim b'shogig v'lo hirgish. Maybe the dream is reminding him that he broke Shabbat and Yom Kippur and didn't realize it one time. V'horu lo shi'aseh kapara achilu Shabbat Yom Kippur. And this dream is a reminder that he should repent from that past accidental sin. It's possible there's another interpretation of the dream, and if you find someone who knows how to interpret dreams, go ahead. But in the meantime, we have no way to split this dream, and therefore, you should do something about it. Maybe you have to be careful, because maybe its interpretation is that he actually did break Shabbat or Yom Kippur 1 year. At some earlier point. So the Ben Ishchai here comes to our rescue. We are able to now understand. You could split a dream if you could find out which part is true, which part is not true. You could split it and ignore the not true part, but otherwise, we actually have to be careful about the meaning of dreams. We should not ignore these type of dreams, at least that may change our status. So it's interesting stuff in terms of how we're supposed to understand dreams. We see that there are many different opinions in the Gemara, and the Yosef Chaim of Baghdad's attempt to find some sort of unifying theory. Okay. It's very, very late. We've gone way over. I see a bunch of hands. Let's take them. Go ahead, Nitza. Unmute, please.
If I go back to Chalom Yosef, where is the truth and where is the dream? I'm sorry.
Good. Right.
How do we solve it?
I think it's different because early on, maybe I think you came on a few minutes after we said this.
Yeah.
That in the Torah, at least we're able to see those dreams as actual nevuah.
Okay.
Not necessarily as dreams. Now, it doesn't answer the question of the chalom of the Sar HaMashkim and Sar HaOchim, but when it comes to Yosef's dreams, we could see it
that way. Yes, we have to think about Sar HaOchim, because my name is taken out here.
Right, so the Gemara, we also saw the Gemara that says the dream's outcome is based on its interpretation, and so maybe that's what it means. Or maybe Yosef, the dream was a nevuah, and Yosef, being a Navi in this case, was able to interpret it. There are such things as non-Jewish Nevi'im as well. Yeah. Okay, Sheila, please unmute. Did you have a question?
I was just waving to everybody. I didn't have a question. I was saying hello.
Okay. No, all right, okay. Rosalie.
I just wanted to say that this topic was very timely today, because I've been reading in the news about during the COVID pandemic that people are having very vivid dreams and more dreams.
Right. Yes, so I forgot about that.
Yeah, so I really appreciate the topic today. Thank you.
Don't forget from Asara from Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Okay, Chana.
Okay, now I can unmute. So the question that I have is two questions. Number one, how come some people like myself always wake up and know that I was dreaming? Sometimes I remember the dreams very vividly. And then I can have another friend that tells me I never dream. And I read that dreams usually are remembered more when you dream them like early in the morning, like 2 hours before you wake up. So what do you know about that?
I know nothing about the science of dreams. Now we all know a little bit more about the halacha of dreams, but I don't know anything about the science of dreams.
Dr. Freud.
Okay, Mom?
Somebody said Freud.
You have to unmute.
Somebody said Freud.
Yeah.
Okay. Your grandmother, my mother, was a big person and dreamer. During the Holocaust, of course, they were separated. She dreamt that her brother came to her and told her he had a Shloshim beard. And he told her that the tata is toit, that the father had died. She kept the Yahrzeit that day because she had no other way of knowing when he died.
Oh. Well, that makes sense according to our interpretation, because there's no way to split the dream. So if there's no way to split the dream, then you got to, then you follow it.
He said he came to her in a dream and said, the tata's tight, you know, father's dead. And that's when she kept your sight.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Add that to the family lure.
Yeah. All right, listen. I want them to know that you come from good stock.
Yes. Okay. Oh, Beth, did you want to say something?
One quick thing. I have to be in and out because I'm working from home. So is it possible that you can send an email with with what you read,
the source
presentation?
Sheet? Yeah, I will. You know what? That's an interesting idea. I'll try to remember after each class to send the recording to the list of people who are on the Lunch and Learn. Now, Chana Carney, if you send me an email, I'll add you to the Lunch and Learn email. And that way you'll get a reminder.
I don't have your email, but I have to ask Chana. I'll okay. get it.
Okay, it's very easy. It's rabbi@uosh.org.
And I'll have my son listen to it. He's 8, but a couple of weeks ago, he told me that Hashem had given him a dream. And I was like, okay, what did you eat? You know, and he's convinced. And I tried to.
And can I have some?
I tried to poke holes on his dream, even like several days after, to kind of see if he changed the dream or anything. And it's still the same dream. I didn't think it was a good dream, but he was not afraid. He's very certain. And then this morning when we were driving to school, we were reading the Parsha, and he was like, oh, I love this story because of the dreams.
Ah, okay. Okay, well, everyone, this was wonderful and lively, a wonderful discussion. Thank you for joining. I will send out the recording once it's uploaded. I'll send out the video and the audio. You could choose which one you want to use, or you could ignore them both. I hope you have a wonderful day, a Shabbat Shalom, and happy Chanukah, everyone.
Happy Hanukkah.
Nice candle tomorrow night.
You could practice tonight if you need to practice. You could practice tonight.
You won't have enough candles.
Right. All right. Chag Uri Sameach, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.